How did we get from there to here, number two? This is the last Sabbath of 2007. And we can always ask the question, how many more Sabbaths do we have and how many more years do we have? And the answer is, I can tell you exactly, as many as God has determined. And he hasn't told us. So we still have to walk by faith. But this week, we were shocked when Benazir Bhutto, supposedly the one who was going to rescue the Pakistan situation, was assassinated. And it really demonstrates the difficulty and problem for those who are trying to create a new world order. Now, they're working to get it set up, and they have been for a long, long time. But this is the difficulty that they have in trying to get these nations and these people who are very emotional and wild to get them calmed down to the point that they will be reasonable enough to enter into a world structure. And that's really the whole point. And they thought that Benazir Bhutto would be able to help modify Pakistan, help take care of getting rid of Al-Qaeda and the radical jihadists and so forth. As she said, that she was the worst possible enemy of the radicals. Now, that's just a paraphrase of what she said. And, of course, like with any assassination that takes place, there are various versions of how it really happened. Nevertheless, she is dead. And this has presented great problems for the war on terror. Now, especially from the point of view that the Pakistanis, they know they have at least 9 nuclear bombs. And they are just absolutely worried that the radicals will get a hold of the government in Pakistan and unite with the Taliban and begin to unleash a lot of destruction upon the world. So this is really a key point in bringing the world together or delaying bringing the world together into a new world order. Because the new world order is coming. It's going to come, without a doubt. So right now, Pakistan is at the crossroads, and how it will play out, we'll just have to watch and see, because it will be critical for the Muslim element in the new world order. Now, there are two ways it can go. We can enter into a period of greater instability and greater number of attacks of Al-Qaeda and the radical Islamo-fascist and their terrorist groups, or something like this may be a tipping point the other way. Now, we'll have to see how it's handled. How could it be the tipping point the other way? Several things, I think, are to bear on it. She was viewed by the Muslim women as really a champion to help free the Muslim women from the ultra-oppression that their radical society has brought upon them. And the ultimate is, put them in a burqa, never educate them, never let them be seen in public except as they are wearing their full burqa from head to toe. And that's the only way you can tell that it is a woman. And as many have commented, the way to bring about change in the Muslim world is to get more of the women free. Now, there are more and more moderate women who have been able to exert themselves, become professional, even in countries like Abu Dhabi, Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, and even Saudi Arabia. And this is why the radicals are so against what is going on in Iraq, because if Iraq is successful, then that's going to be a tipping point to help modify the Muslim world behavior and put them into a situation where they can become part of a new world order and world government. So this is where we are. So it could tip the other way. This could cause a lot of women in the various Muslim countries to say, "How dare you kill someone like this? We want nothing more to do with the radicals." It could also tip in that way from another point of view, because Musharraf, the current president, will probably have to go. Everyone agrees he has to go, but there may be one glimmer of hope that the world elite has, which is the new general of the army. Not many people realize it, but he was educated in the United States and trained in Harvard and the West Point. So, just how this is going to go, whether there will be a flare-up and eventually come back to a more moderate position, or whether the tipping point will immediately begin tipping to a more moderate Islam, we'll have to wait and see. But nevertheless, all of these things are part of the chaos that is happening in the world, and what is happening in the world is for the purpose of furthering the one world order, the new world government. Remember in my letter that I just wrote about the 10 areas in the world. Well, Jim Alexander sent me a copy of a book that was written and published in 1992, and I remember, as far as I can remember concerning it, that I gave a sermon on this back at that time, because I got the book, and this book is called En Route to Global Occupation. And the author is Gary R. Kah, K-A-H. Now, if you want to see if you can get the book, I'll give you the ISBN number. ISBN 0-91031-97-8. I'll give it again. 0-91031-97-8. Now, I know I've got my copy in the archives of our books, and if I had book space in my office, I would have every wall covered from floor to ceiling with books. I've got some in what we call the Shouse, which is our mini house in the back, which we never finished inside. We wanted to get a shed to do storage, but that would cost more than building the Shouse, so we built a 600-square-foot little house out in back. And so outside it looks like a house, but inside it's like a shed, so we call it a Shouse. So I've got boxes of books stored out there, so I'm pretty sure it's out there. But then in one of our family rooms, we have two bookcases of four shelves full of books. Dolores upstairs has a bookcase full of books. My office, I have a bookcase full of books. I have my desk stacked with books. I've got books on the floor. I've got books in the cupboard over one of my desks. And I'm going to have to revise the whole thing. But nevertheless, I've read all of them. Okay? What you need to understand, what is going on is a result of long-term planning by people and organizations that think in generations and a 100-year period or more. Now, a lot of people don't like the book, The Protocols of Zion, which is the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. A Let me just explain about this book. Yes, I've read this book and I've given sermons from it. And the Jews say, we didn't write it. The Catholics did. The Catholics say, we didn't write it. The Russians did. To try and have something so that they could discredit the Jews and bring them down at a time that they want to bring them down. However, I take a different view of it now after having read it, because when you read it, if you haven't read it with an unbiased opinion and just read the whole thing through. And then as you read it, ask the question, have these things happened? Which is control of the banks, control of the press, control of the schools, control of the government, local, regional, state, world. Has it happened? Well, it's written out and said that they're going to do it. And one of the things they said, that we want to put leaders of all the nations that we control, we want to put people that we know are corrupted so we can control them. And just think on that. Has that happened? Yes, indeed. So I suggest you get the book and ask the question, has it happened? So to try and answer the question, who wrote it? Well, if you understand the financial situation, the Jews control most of the banks. But most of the money in those banks belong to the Catholics and the Roman Catholic Church. And a lot of the money that's in the banks comes from laundering of drug money and so forth. And you might think about how much money is made from drugs and then ask the question, why? Why don't the leaders of America close down the border? All I might suggest is you think on that and do your own research. And I will think you will come to the conclusion that they have determined that they are going to bring about a North American Union, and part of it is the whole culture that they have fomented to bring down America. And I will show you how they have brought down Britain as a pattern. However, let's go back to this book, 1992, En Route to Global Occupation, The Club of Rome. How many have heard The Club of Rome? Club of Rome is very, very important to understand. Now, let's come to Revelation 17, because we need to understand this, that everything of world globalization is coming out of, guess where? Rome. Now, there's only one city that fits the pattern that we find here in Revelation 17, which is Rome. Now, it talks about the first part of it. And remember when you read the book of Revelation. Now, some people mistakenly have said, well, John was writing about the current history that was taking place in his time. Well, if that were the case, then you wouldn't have a prophecy. And when you read the book of Revelation, you also need to understand that this is talking about the end time. And you will have greater understanding of the book of Revelation if you also realize that it is talking about worldwide events. And it's talking about major players in bringing about the final world civilization of man, which even IBM has one of its little pictures declaring what it's doing. And it was a very interesting advertisement years ago. It showed a picture of the Tower of Babel, which was left off and wasn't built. And IBM was bragging with this picture. They said, what they started, we're going to finish. Which is a very revealing statement. People say, oh, what do you make of that? Well, Those people who are doing these things know what they are doing. So when you have an advertisement like that saying what they started, we're going to finish, that is telling you what's coming. And that was years ago. All right, Revelation 17. We have the woman who is the harlot riding a scarlet-colored beast. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth. I want you to understand when it says kings of the earth, that means all the rulers of the world. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk by the wine of her fornication. Now, the wine of her fornication comes in many different things. It comes religiously, it comes economically, and it comes in human social endeavors as well. So it's talking about the kings of the earth and all who dwell on the earth. So when we're reading this, I want you to try and have a global perspective as to what is going on. Because if anyone travels the world, which I've only traveled to Australia and to Canada, and I don't want to go to the Holy Land, and I don't want to go any of the other countries of the world either. But they're amazed at the monolithic society that is developed. It's done by religion, uniting the religions. That's coming slower than expected, but they will get there. So all of you good Baptists out there, here, please, listen. That's why Richard Land joined the CFR. And all of you good evangelical fundamentalists, listen. That's why Rick Warren is leading the evangelical movement more and more. And he, please know this, the last 2 years he gave the Christmas Eve service on Fox News, which is a Holy Catholic-owned institution, which means what he says and what he does has been approved by Rome. Otherwise, you don't get on there. A comment was made, Tony Blair now says he is a Catholic and met with the Pope. I think a little later when we talk about what's happened to Britain, you will understand. Okay? So it affects everybody. So then she has the name of blasphemy, Mother Babylon the Great, and then it talks about the kings of the earth and so forth. But let's come down here. Let's come down here to verse 12. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not received a kingdom, but shall receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now that's a very interesting statement, isn't it? How can that be? Either you are a king or you're not a king. Right? Except with the modern regional grouping of nations. Now we'll use Europe for an example. You have the European Union now. It used to be the European, it started out as the first agreement they signed at the Club of Rome, the Treaty of Rome, which was France and Germany are going to stop fighting each other and we're going to work together to produce coal and steel together jointly, beginning in the Ruhr. And the Ruhr was the place that Hitler undid the Versailles Treaty. Then it went into more cooperation, more cooperation, more cooperation. Then it came into the European Union as we have every single agreement signed in Rome and the Club of Rome, I'll tell you about here in just a minute. All right. So how can they be kings, but haven't received a kingdom, but shall receive authority as kings 1 hour with a beast? Let's look at Europe. Who is the leader of France? President Sarkozy. At the present time, he's friendly to America and everyone's happy. So the boycott against French wine has ended. Okay. Who is the Prime Minister of Germany? Or her last name is Merkel. Or the King of Belgium, or the Prime Minister of Holland, or the Prime Minister of Italy, or Spain, or any of the other nations. They travel around the world and are recognized for their individual sovereign countries. Is that not correct? Yes. But who is the power over them now that has not yet exercised power? The European Union, with its president, with its parliament, with its courts. Now, they're exercising the court system more and more, and economically, they have the euro. So it's all coming together. Now, in an emergency, which there will be one that will come, who becomes the head of all Europe? The president of the European Union. And they will probably have worked into the treaty that I'll talk about a little later, giving him emergency powers to do so. Now, replicate this 10 times in 10 regions around the world, and what do you have? You have kings that do not have power as kings until a certain point. Then they get it. Let's use an example here of the coming North American Union. We have the president of the United States, we have the president of Mexico, we have the prime minister of Canada. But there will be a president of the North American Union. And I think that Arnold Schwarzenegger has already pleaded for the job. Now, an emergency, then, because they will have a North American parliament, they will have a North American court, there will be a North American currency, the Amero. In emergency, they take power. You can multiply this to the 10 regions wherever they are. Now let's go back and see how they have carefully worked this step by step by step by step. And let's go ahead and make this, since I haven't put a title on it, let's make this, how did we get from there to here? Let's make this number two. Because the beginning of the deterioration of the Protestant Christianity in America began in a very small way in 1893. And 1893 was also the time of the writing of Rome's challenge to the Protestants. So you have a New Testament? Please read all the way through every word of Rome's challenge to the Protestants, where they have said that you Protestants either come and stand wholly on Catholic ground or stick to the Bible only and let that be your authority, because if you don't, you are in a suicidal position against God. And when you least expect it, the Roman Catholic Church in all of its haughty authority will come against you in a time that you do not think of or do not know. And we're seeing that happen. But first, you've got to soften up the Protestants. So how do you soften up the Protestant? Okay, how did it start with religion? Now, I've given sermons on this, too. It started with the World Parliament of Religions, 1893. Isn't that interesting, the same year that Rome's challenge was written to the Protestants? And they brought in an Indian Hindu. I forget his name, but I've got that. We'll have to maybe resurrect some of those tapes and put them on the CD for you. And we'll do it with this. We'll put it on with this CD.
Okay.
And the whole thrust of it was the result of Theosophy by Madame Blavatsky and the Masons. There's a long history of this because it comes step by step by step by step. And they don't tell you what they're doing right off. And what was so marvelous about it was that, look at everything we have in common with the Protestants and Catholics and other religions. Does that sound a little familiar today? See, it's been over 120 years since that first started. Then in 1993, they had the World Parliament of Religion again in Chicago, and they were amazed at the change in everyone accepting the different religions. Well, at the same time that was going on, there are other political things. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, let's come back here to Revelation 17. Here's the key. Verse 13. These all have one mind. They all think alike. This is describing the world elite, beginning, as I will show you, the club of Rome, under which are the Bilderbergers, the Trilateralists, the CFR, and the equivalent of CFR everywhere in the world, in all nations. See, most people don't realize it, but all Masons everywhere in the world, regardless of whether they are Catholic or Protestant or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever their religion is, they all accept themselves as brothers. And they are all working together for a one world government. So you have it in religion. You have it in these special elite organizations, let me put it that way, lest someone get bitten by the bug. Well, Coulter believes in conspiracy. Let me just tell you something. If you believe there's a Satan, the devil, then you need to understand the Bible says he's deceiving the whole world. And how can you deceive the whole world unless you have those who conspire with you, which is what? A conspiracy. But you see, if this raises the hackles on the back of your neck, then let me just suggest to you that you have been so brainwashed by the media because they don't want anyone believing that there is a conspiracy, lest it be exposed. Or what they have allowed to be exposed is only to make a test to see how they progressed in bringing the people's thinking along with what they want so they can continue doing what they are doing. So we need to think big. These have one mind and shall give up their power and authority to the beast. What are regional unions of nations but giving up authority? See, the final beast has not come on the scene yet, though the framework is there with the UN. And as I've said before, I believe it will be transferred to Europe, probably to Geneva. So let's go on. These will make war with the Lamb. So this has to be an end time event, right? This could not have been contemporary history during Christ's time. Did any of the kings of Rome fight against Christ? No, because he didn't return in the first century. Now let's also expand our thinking well beyond this. The return of Christ is going to be the greatest, most spectacular thing to ever be witnessed by human beings on the face of the earth. And that's why they're going to fight against it. And how many, well, let's put it this way. The majority of people in the world, whether they believe it or not, have already been exposed to aliens, correct? Flying saucers, correct? Yes. So the way that they're going to marshal the support to fight against Christ and his return is they're going to say, this is an invasion from outer space, which is true. Christ is invading, see. But the Antichrist is going to call the invading one the Antichrist. And even many Catholic prophecies point to it. So you see, if you're spending a lot of hours watching television and soap operas and all of that sort of thing, and having your head filled with nonsense that comes through it, especially with the commercials, and you think what I'm saying is wild and way out, then you're the one who's way behind. All right, now let's continue here. But the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Because we're going to take over the world. God has not called us to be nice little hand-folding Christians squatting in a corner with peace and blank minds. He's called us to rule the world. So think on that. That's why our education in God's Word has to be as intense as we can have it. Now notice verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters that you saw where the whore sits, now that means where her throne is, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Amalgamation of the whole world. So not only do you have the religious center in Rome, you also have the religio-political center in Rome, because every single nation on earth now, thanks to Ronald Reagan, for all of those who loved Ronald Reagan, he was the one who officially made the United States part of the recognizing the Pope's political power by sending a U.S. ambassador to Rome. Key lesson. Regardless of the niceness of a person or regardless of how good they are, if they don't belong to Christ, Satan is going to use them. Especially if they are nice. Because it makes it easier to get the agenda across. Think of that with this coming election. And I'll give you some other tidbits to think upon with the election that is coming, because if you listen to the words, they're telling you we're going to change America in a way that no one really understands at this point. And they're all fighting to be the change agent so that they can institute it as quickly as they can. And please also understand this. No one who is running for president in America is going to do anything but make the progress of regionalism go forward. And if they don't, there will be economic consequences that will force them to do it. And if they still resist, they may end up like John F. Kennedy. So we're dealing with the powers of this world. Now, can you imagine any greater or more important job that you could have, or training that you could have, that God is training you to come against the powers of this world through Christ? And that we are going to overthrow them? Think on it. So here's what they've been... Let's finish here. Let's finish. Okay. Verse 16, but the ten horns that you saw on the beast shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And that is when they finally find out how they have really been deceived and brought into this. All right, now let's talk about the Club of Rome. Because the Club of Rome is greater than the Illuminati, it is greater than the Committee of 300. And if you've ever heard of John Coleman, go online, John Coleman, he's in Reno, Nevada. And he talks an awful lot about the Illuminati and the elite. And you say, I wonder how he gets away with all this information. Well, I'll tell you why and how it happens. They want him to do it. And he doesn't know, but in my opinion, he's one of their pawns to let the information out so that these elite will understand how much resistance is in the population and whether there could be a movement formed against them. And what happens? Though the information is out there as far as doing anything of any consequence, he's ineffective. Has he changed one political party? Has he changed one church? Has he changed one government? No. So this tells them, hey, we're succeeding. So you go online and look up John Coleman. Now, let me read to you from page 40 and 41, and we'll look at some other scriptures here in a minute as we go along. He's talking about another organization, which is higher than the Rothschilds and the Warburgs. Oh, by the way, when we get to the banking, I'll just mention here before we get there, all of the world banks are connected together in a network. All of them. And they're waiting for the time when they can institute the mark of the beast. And we're marching ever closer, closer, closer to that. Another organization, this is about the Club of Rome, that has drawn a high percentage of its members from the Council on Foreign Relations is the Club of Rome, the COR. And who are the ones who have formulated the basis for the coming North American Union? Council on Foreign Relations. Now, if you don't believe about the coming union, go to spp.gov. Tell you all about it. And we'll tell you about the Amero. The Club of Rome claims to be an informal organization. Now, listen to this. This is important to understand. Informal organization. Now, remember when Hillary Clinton got caught having Sandy Berger, or as some call him, Sandy Bergler, advising her on foreign affairs? What did she say? Oh, he's not on our staff. He's just an informal consultant. So this is how they present it. When they say informal, that means more official than official, because this is above being official. Claims to be an informal organization of less than 100 persons. Now, reading from the book En Route to Globalism, 1992, of less than 100 people who are, in their own words, scientists, educators, economists, humanists, industrialists, national and international civil servants, the elite of the world. Included among some of these have been members of the Rockefeller family, although there are approximately 25 CFR members who belong to the American Association for the Club of Rome. So they have the Club of Rome with 100, then they have other branch organizations going out in different places. The club had its beginnings in April 1968 when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome at the invitation of Aurelio Pacelli, or Pacisi, a prominent Italian industrialist with close ties to Fiat Olivetti corporations, and you might also include in there, and the Vatican, because this could not be done without their approval. And most people do not understand how deeply the Catholics and Vatican are involved in the United Nations, because this suits their purposes. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. However, these solutions always seem to promote the concept of world government at the expense of national sovereignty. So if you do a Google search, I mean, we've got all kinds of information now. Do a Google search. World government. As I've said before years ago, when the UN has separate individual taxing power, the world government has been established. They're trying to do that. Have been for a long time. See, everyone has been propagandized, massaged, and dumbed down to where world government, well, maybe that's the only way to solve the problems. How are you going to solve the problems there in Pakistan? Should you send in American troops? Well, then you would get all the Islamists in America rising up against us. What if you had an international army? I'll read to you about their international army. They want to have one. I mean, brethren, this is big-time stuff that we're looking at here. We're looking at huge events with their... This was not their beginning. This was the launching of the final phase. What I'm reading to you here about the Club of Rome in 1968, that was the launching of the final phase. Knowing it would take time, step by step by step by step. See? And with all the severe problems, you need a world government, and what do you need to go along with a world government? Authority. Not only authority, but what else do you need? You need a world bank. And a world bank with a perfect system of identification. So the mark of the beast is coming. Wait till I read you what they are doing with the human mind. Now, I'll have to save that for another sermon. But they are planning fantastic things for the human mind. Beyond what we've ever thought. Comment was made, you have to lose your old identity and assume a new identity, which is, instead of nationalism, it is globalism. Okay, let's go on here. However, these solutions, yes, always seem to promote the concept of world government at the expense of national sovereignty. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world. And guess what one of the pages show on page 42? 10 regions of the world. A little different than what I brought out in my letter, but nevertheless, substantially the same. And I will include that in my next letter. Let's go on here. The club, therefore, could be said to be one step above the Bilderbergers in the one world hierarchy. The Club of Rome founder, PCC, has been a close associate of the Bilderbergers. As far as I've been able to determine, most of the directives for the planning of the world government are presently coming from the Club of Rome. What do you mean, directives? Those unseen agreements that are informal, that are agreed to by the servants of the countries to give up the sovereignty of their nation to a region. All you have to do when you go on SPP.gov, you will see all of those involved in it who are carrying out those orders informally so that they don't have to be reported. That's how they work. Let's go to the next track.